Peace is only found in one place, amen? And Christmas season is such a great time to talk about that, isn't it? The only place to find peace is through Christ Jesus. And aren't we blessed that he decided to come to this earth to bring us that peace? But you notice where there's no Christ, there is no peace. Have you noticed that in this world? And so this morning we're going to talk about this idea of bringing peace, even in our own communities, in our own homes, and that peace is found through Jesus Christ. Well, I'm excited to be here. I'm actually very honored to be here this morning, just thinking about the season that we're in and what we get to celebrate as Christians and the time that we get to spend with each other and just all that goes on in the Christmas season. I don't know, is anybody else just really get extremely busy during Christmas season? Anybody else, or am I alone? Because I know I'm not alone, and I'll tell you how I know I'm not alone, because yesterday I was in Wichita. Yeah, I mean, I grew up in this area, so I'm very used to Wichita traffic, and yesterday was not normal Wichita traffic. At the mall, I think I had to park 5 or 6 blocks away. I think I was parked at the Olive Garden to get to the mall. It was ridiculous. It's just crazy, you know? So we talk about this knowing peace, and isn't it funny how at the holiday season, there is no peace? So today I invite you to sit back and relax. Just kind of fall into your seat a little bit and think about the words of that song. Because we can know peace. We can celebrate that peace. We can sit here amongst our church family. And if you're a visitor this morning, know that you're welcomed in as a family member this morning. Just relax and sink in, and I promise I won't take too long because I know you have other things on your mind. I do. I have to pick up a turkey on Wednesday, and I still have a few presents to buy. So we'll get out of here quick so we can get to Walmart. I'm just kidding. I really am kidding. You know, Christmas is very special for me. I grew up in a very close family, and I know some of you guys are blessed with that as well. And if that wasn't your experience, I'll share with you my story then. My family was very close. At the holidays, we always got together. Everybody, aunts, uncles, great-grandpas, great-grandmas, everybody, aunts, great-aunts and uncles, everybody. I saw my cousins. It was a very, very close family, and we would always have a big meal, and it was just always this big, huge thing, the holidays. We were all together. Thanksgiving, and then a month later, Christmas, we were all together. Then we'd go a whole year without seeing each other, but then we were all together again for the holidays. It was a very special time for me. I enjoyed being around my family and getting to experience. I enjoyed Christmas because that was always when I got my brand new flannel shirt for the year from one of my uncles. It was just a very special time, Christmas. And now that I'm and as a child, I remember the lens that I looked at Christmas through. I mean, we went to church, we experienced all of that, we celebrated all that, and I remember Christmas morning waking up to presents and all those things. But Christmas is so different now that I'm a father. Not that my children are babies, I'm not now just become. I've been one for a while, but Christmas is so different looking through the lens of my children and looking at through the lens of my wife, my spouse. It's just very different now. And I think I enjoy it that much more. However, what I've noticed is I'm kind of this nostalgic kind of person, and I've created little nostalgic traditional monsters in my sons. So these little things that I thought would be no big deal in the holidays now are a big deal. And so every Christmas season, I have to go out and buy Special Pop because Coca-Cola isn't good enough anymore. So I have to go buy this Special Pop that's really expensive from a special store so we can sit and drink our Special Pop watching special Christmas movies. And apparently there's even special flavors of pop that go with particular movies that we watch. I don't know how this happened, but I've created monsters in my sons who are very, you know, they're aging now. You think they'd grow out of it, but no. So I can't wait to see what my grandchildren are like, and I'll get to laugh and find amusement. But it's awesome to think about and to see life through the lens of other people, isn't it? It's awesome and it's interesting to see my children and how they interact and how things work in their world as we come into the holiday season. Family is a big thing. And again, I want you to remember that the family is a big word. Here this morning, you're a part of a very special family. And so we even get to see the holiday season through the lens of our friends as we sit here together in this beautiful place. And I want to remind you, because this morning we're not just going to talk about the birth of Jesus. I'm actually going to take you back 9 months as we get into the word here in a second. But I want to remind you that when Mary found herself to be expecting, what was the first thing that she did? She ran to family. She went to see Elizabeth. Such a beautiful picture that we have. Such an incredible story that we get to share in. So if you have a Bible, turn to Luke. Luke chapter 1. It's the good thing about preaching the Christmas story. You always know right in the Bible where it is. The beginning of the four Gospels. I think it's interesting that Luke tells this story. Does anybody know what Luke did as a profession? Anybody? He was a physician, wasn't he? We knew him to be a doctor, someone who was somewhat familiar with the physical body. And I love that Luke tells this story, because I think it really adds that credibility to me. When a doctor tells me something, I still, maybe you have a different experience, but for me, I still trust my doctor. So when a doctor tells me something, I typically believe it. That doesn't mean that I'm going to stop eating so much sodium, but I still believe it when he says I need to, okay? So we have this doctor telling us a story of Mary conceiving the infant Jesus. So we're going to start with verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." I think I've shared this when I've been here before, because I've shared some stories from Scripture before when an angel appears. Greetings, you who are highly favored. That would scare the tar out of me. Mary was greatly troubled, so apparently scared the tar out of her too at his words, and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. What kind of greeting could this angel be bringing to me? I'm a little bit worried. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid." Yeah, right. Or seriously, angel, do not be afraid. For first of all, I don't see you every day. This isn't just something that appears at my breakfast table with me. I'm scared to death. "Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the only one to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. What a beautiful story. The angel appears to Mary and brings to her an incredible message. I would imagine, as I think through it, this is a mind-blowing message. Mary, you're about to be pregnant. You're going to carry the Son of God, the one who is coming to this world to change everything, to change everything. You're going to be carrying him. Now, I don't know about you. My sons are pretty good kids, for the most part. We have our hiccups. But I know that my wife was nervous about carrying my two sons during pregnancy. She would worry so much about bringing this life into this world. Me, I just watched a lot of TV. I'm just kidding. I gained baby weight with her. She's lost hers, I haven't. It happens. But I think about all that she went through, the taking the vitamins so that these boys would have a better chance of being healthy, just all those different things. I remember how much she worried and how big of a concern it was for her. Now I think back to Mary. Just being told, you're going to carry the Son of God. What prenatal vitamins do you take for that? You're carrying the Son of the Most High. This is good news, Mary. Okay, good news. Because you have found favor with the Lord. Man, I don't know what kind of favor that is. But I love Mary's response. It's almost like she didn't bat an eye. She immediately said, how has this happened? Because I've never even been with a man. In fact, the man that I'm going to marry, we're just engaged. How is this going to happen? But the angel assures her that what he said is true because it's coming from the Most High, and he will overshadow you. And this will be miraculous because nothing is impossible with God. And he reassures her of that by saying, even your relative Elizabeth is expecting. And she was barren, unable to have children. But God had a plan that was bigger. God had a plan in action. God had something moving, and he was working, and he was ready to go to bring the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, into this world through Mary. So Mary heard those words of the angel, and Mary sat back, and I can picture her saying this, let it be as you have said. Let's do this. God, make it happen. Just as you have said, let's make this happen. All of a sudden, it's like all the worry went away. The concern went away. And she celebrated that she was expecting, as a virgin, the Christ child. And then we see from the passage just after, once again, that what's the first thing she does? She goes to visit her family. She goes to spend time with Elizabeth. They go to celebrate. Talk about, some of you have probably seen two expecting women when they're together. It's kind of a beautiful thing, in my opinion. And in my family, I remember, I'll share this story as a freebie. I wasn't planning on mentioning this, but it just popped in my head for some reason. Sometimes it's dangerous for me to share those things, but I think this is okay. I remember when my wife was expecting. I remember when my sister-in-law was expecting. I remember when my sister was expecting. And my dad had the uncanny gift of being able to know that. I remember when we came to my family to announce that my wife was expecting, and we walk in, and my dad's like, oh, here we go again. I'm like, Dad, how do you know this stuff? You're work at Boeing. You're not a doctor. How do you know? But somehow he knew. And it's an amazing thing. And you know, Elizabeth knew too. When Mary walked into that room, she saw her relative, her cousin. She saw her and immediately began with a poem. Such a beautiful story. Now I want you to think back to 9 months to Joseph. And you can find a quick little story about him back in Matthew chapter 1. Mary wasn't alone. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph. Now Joseph, hearing about what was going on with Mary, also again by an angel in a dream, He thought for a while, I can't marry this woman. What will people think? What will people say? I can't do this. This isn't right. So in his mind, he set to divorce her. Because in that time and in that culture, when Jewish couple were together in engagement, it was to us, as we see it today in our culture, it was as legally binding as a marriage. So Joseph had to set out to divorce her. There would actually be a proceeding that would take place for this to happen, but he wanted to do it quietly so as not to shame her and bring shame on himself. But this angel of the Lord came to Joseph bringing an incredible story again. And Joseph's mind was changed. He woke up, verse 24 of chapter 1. And he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took Mary home to be his wife. What a beautiful picture of a man who said, I'm willing to step up. This child is not mine biologically, physically, he is not mine, but I am willing to step up, probably without understanding what was even going on in his own life. He was willing to step up and say, but I will help. I will be with her. Together we will bring into this world the Christ child. You imagine that Joseph was a very studious young Jewish man. By the way, he followed the Jewish law. He probably loved the Lord. He too found some favor, some grace with the Lord. And I love that the response of Mary and Joseph was a simple one. Let's do this. Let's do this. Let's make it happen. Even in the toughest of circumstances and what I would consider one of the most difficult calls a person could have on their life, they stood up and said, let's do this. Then we know that 9 months passes. Jesus is born into this world. The Son of God. You would expect it to be a glorious thing. One where people would flock from everywhere, but instead he's born this lowly birth in a manger. How appropriate. This humble Savior, this humble King could only be born into a humble place. A place where they had no room in the normal beds, in the normal rooms, in the normal places where you and I would stay, but instead they had to go out to where the animals slept. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what Mary and Joseph were thinking? We're about to bring the Christ child into this world. And here we are. But they didn't stop. They didn't say, we're just going to go try the next place. Instead, they moved forward and said to God, let it be as you have said. Let's do this. Christ comes into this world and the angels hear about it. God calls on them first, sends angels and says, come and see. So the angels saying this to the shepherds take a step back and they begin, I think in my mind, to say to God, yes, God, yes, God. And they say to each other, you know what? We need to go and see this Christ child. The shepherds, they get themselves together. They go and they see. You have Mary and Joseph saying, let's do this. Let's get it done. Let's make it happen. You have the shepherds saying, let's go and see this. Let's see it. And what they're doing is they're coming to Jesus who shows up in this world and says, I've done it. I've done it. Through me, it is complete. Through me, this world can know peace, and through me, this world can have salvation. Everybody eagerly awaiting the coming of Christ, the King of Kings, the Son of God. Mary and Joseph saying, let's do this. The angels coming, and they're saying, let's see it. Jesus shows up in the lowliest of places born a normal birth other than to a virgin. Born in the lowliest place. And he says, I've finished it. It's complete. The Son is born into this world. The greatest gift we've ever seen. Salvation was born with him and through him. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And when we see him go to the cross, he says, it is finished. This man who was born in the worst conditions, in the lowest place, to parents who really didn't matter. Really, they didn't. Just a normal, what I would consider kind of a blue-collar worker, Joseph, and a mom. Just a regular old Jewish girl who found favor with the Lord. But we're willing to say, God, let it be as you have said. Let's do this for the Christ who got it done. This morning, I want you to think about this Christmas season. What task, what thing is God putting before you? What is God calling you to do? What is God saying? This is the very thing that I want you to accomplish this holiday season. Maybe it's reaching out to a family member in a relationship that's broken. Maybe it's inviting your neighbor to Christmas Eve service like we talked about earlier. Maybe it's simply sharing the love of Christ with somebody at the store. Just the other day, young man, 11 years old. You know, every day I wake up, I really don't know what God puts in front of me. I don't know until it happens. This kid walks in and he wants to talk to me. And he's telling me that he had been with a friend of his, and his friend kind of had led him into Christ. So he went home and he got on YouTube and he's Googling all this stuff about Jesus. Isn't it amazing we can Google stuff about Jesus? Do you think Mary and Joseph would have ever spoken those words? How am I born with a... We'll Google it, Joseph. That doesn't happen. But he goes home and he Googles stuff about Jesus, and he's telling me this stuff that he had read, and he's being so misled by what he's finding on the internet. So misled that he's not even sure that the decision he made to follow Christ was a real one. So I said, Mason, settle down. Let's talk about this. Let's walk through this. You made a decision to follow Christ because you know that he can forgive you of your sins. Someone shared that story with you. You made the decision to follow Christ because you know that with him there is peace. And it was such an awesome experience to sit down with this young man that someone else was willing to share the story of Christ with. And just lead him a few steps further. I didn't know God was going to do that when he woke me up that morning. When I got my clothes on to get ready for work. I didn't know. We don't know sometimes what God puts in front of us until it's right there. But be ready this Christmas season. Be prepared. Be ready to have an account of the faith that you are blessed with. Be ready to tell the story of the Christ child that was born into this world to bring us peace and goodwill. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity we have this morning just to come and to share together. The opportunity we have this morning to come and be a part of what you're doing. Because, Father, we know that the story didn't end with Mary and Joseph. The story didn't end with the birth of Jesus Christ. The story is continuing on through Christ. Thank you, Lord, that we can sit this morning and just relax. Just to settle our hearts and our minds for a brief time. during this busy season and really soak in what you're doing, the work that you are doing even in this world today through your church, sharing the love of Christ, the peace of Christ, the good news. Father, as we go into this season, I pray that you give us encouragement. Father, even give us boldness as we take that story of Christ to others. As we seek to mend relationships. As we seek to celebrate the birthday of our Lord and Savior. Thank you that we have that opportunity. Thank you for the freedom that we have in this country to do that. But Lord, thank you more for the freedom that we have in Christ. We pray these things through him.